Okay, this is Corporal Johanna Perez, and this is the interview of Correctional Officer Esteban Gonzalez. Today's date is July 29th, 2021, and the time is 3:43 p.m. I am the lead investigator conducting this administrative investigation. In addition, present in this interview are Sergeant Sergio Gutierrez, Correctional Officer Esteban Gonzalez, and Attorney Dave Gold, Internal Affairs Unit. And this interview is being recorded. The Santa Ana Police Department is currently conducting an investigation into the in-custody death that occurred at the Santa Ana Jail on 6/25/21. During this investigation, I will be gathering facts and looking for circumstances which led up to the in-custody death incident. After the investigation, the administration will review this incident to determine if department policy has been followed. A sustained finding of any charges could result in discipline being imposed in the form of training, reprimand, reduction in rank or pay, suspension, or termination. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Due to the nature of the administrative investigation, Government Code Section 3303H requires me to advise you of your rights. Therefore, it's important that you understand that. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in court. You have the right to an attorney before and during questioning. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you before questioning if you wish. Do you understand each of the rights that I've explained to you?
Yes, ma'am.
With these rights in mind, would you like to speak to me now?
No.
While you have the right to remain silent with regard to any criminal investigation, you do not have the right to refuse to answer my questions administratively. This is an administrative investigation. I am, therefore, ordering you to answer all of my questions fully and honestly. If you refuse to answer my questions, your refusal to do so and or silence can be deemed insubordination and result in administrative discipline, up to and including termination. Any statement you make under compulsion of the threat of such discipline cannot be used against you criminally or in any civil proceeding except in limited circumstances. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, were you working on June 25th, this year, 2021?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And on that day, what was your main work assignment, like workstation or module that you were assigned to?
I was the administrative segregation, one of two officers. It's okay. A two-man post, so I was assigned to that module, administrative segregation.
Okay. And then for short, do you guys call it ADSEG?
ADSEG, yes. Okay. Or 4 Delta Echo.
Okay. For this interview, is it okay if we refer to it as ADSEG, or what would you prefer to? So we don't have to
That's
say.
That's fine.
Okay.
ADSEG is fine.
Okay. Is that your permanent work assignment?
For that rotation, yes.
Okay. And what does that mean for that rotation?
We have different assignments every 3 months.
Okay. So how long have you been in that module? Or assigned to ADSEG for this rotation?
Well, June was my last month of the rotation. I currently have a new assignment that started in July.
Okay. So on this day, we were still assigned, though, right, to ADSEG?
Yes,
that was
ADSEG.
That. Okay. So that had been your third month there?
Yes.
Okay. While you are assigned to ADSEG, if you can just tell me what would your job duties consist of while you work that module?
Consist of supervision of inmates. You feed the inmates, you provide hygiene or recreational time. Each inmate, because of the classification, we have high-ranking inmates in that module, which is why it's a two-man post. So we have, since it's a 4 Delta, 4 Echo, mm-hmm. unit, you have one inmate that comes out for 1 hour at a time. So me and my partner are in charge of supervising that inmate while they're out and about during their rec time.
Okay, so each inmate gets 1 hour out?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then the rest of the time they're locked inside of their cells?
They're locked down.
Okay. On the 25th, you guys had a chance to review the video. At approximately 10:40 hours, you went into Fort Charlie. And at some point it was brought to your attention that Mr. Samuel was down inside of his cell. Can you just explain to me, starting from when you moved from ADSEG into Fort Charlie and stayed in there, when you got in there, what happened during that time? Like, what were you doing?
I was taking note of the inmates. Pretty much I was serving lunch for Fort Charlie inmates. We were directed to serve because we were understaffed at the time. Me or my partner had to walk over after we were done with our day room in ADSEG. One of us had to walk over to serve lunch to the inmates that were in Fort Charlie. So that's what I was doing. In the video, you see me log each inmate. That takes a tray for lunchtime. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just logging whatever inmate accepts their tray for lunch.
Okay. And that leads me to my next question, because I see in the video, I didn't know. I saw you had something in your hands, a clipboard, but I didn't know exactly what it was.
It's a roster of all the inmates in that module.
Okay, so then as they get food, do you just check them off that they came down to get food? Okay. When once lunch was served, did you know that Mr. Salmo had not come out to eat?
Yes.
Okay. Is it normal for some of them to not come out and get their food?
Yes.
Okay, so when they don't, what do you guys do?
I mark it as a refusal.
Okay. Is there ever a check, like to go check on them to see why they didn't come out?
Yeah, after I'm done with dispersing the lunch to the inmates that are out getting it, I go ahead and check on them.
Okay. So in the video of Fort Charlie, I noted a time of 9:35, and I had been advised that Talon was in Fort Charlie prior to you going over there. Was that correct? Was she in Fort Charlie before?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So at 9:35, I see in the video that she opens up that door that is, it leads to like the officer's area where you guys are at, on the ADSEG side, and then it gives you access into Fort Charlie. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I see her open the door, that door at 9:35, and then she leaves the mod completely. When she left, who, if anyone, does anyone become in charge of Fort Charlie?
Well, at the time, she never briefed me. So, if you notice, we walk.
Let me interrupt you, Esteban. The question is there somebody who's supposed to be in charge of Fort Charlie after Talon exits? So is that a yes or is that a no?
Oh, no.
Okay, so nobody is left in charge of Fort Charlie. It's just an empty mod.
Yeah, pretty much.
And why is that? This is a terrible question, but is it safe to leave the mod in that condition when Talon exits? And if so, why?
It's not safe.
But what's the security circumstance when Talon exits? Is everybody walking around interacting with each other, or are they locked in their cells?
They're all locked down.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, the video shows her leave. Everybody is locked down. So there was no conversation at all between Talon and you and Zavala that she's leaving and someone needs to keep track or, you know, man for Charlie?
No.
Okay. Is this something that has happened before? Is that normal for the jail to just...
That's not normal.
Okay. Where was Talon going?
She was done for the day. I believe she was done for the day. She's a graveyard shift CO. But because we were understaffed that day, we have to keep certain officers mandatory. And she was one of the unlucky ones.
Okay.
So she was assigned to that module.
So she was there on mandatory overtime?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So she leaves for the day, doesn't relay to you guys. What did you think when that door opened? Because she opens it, so...
Well, technically you're not supposed to open it because we're still running program in our unit. And we still have inmates on our side. And since this is a two-man post, we can't leave our post. So if you notice, me and my partner walk in and we don't know she left because we never received a briefing from her.
Okay. Are you guys supposed to?
You're supposed to relay a briefing, like what happened during the time that these inmates were out. If there's anything that I should be observing, is there anything that happened that occurred during the time when you were the officer in charge of that unit?
Okay. So she opens it, she leaves. At any point, do you reach out to a supervisor or let anybody know, hey, this mod was left unattended?
We make a call to control to find out if Talon had left because she never briefed us.
Okay.
And I believe control confirmed that she had left.
And how do you have that information? Did you place that phone call to control?
My partner made a phone call to control, and control advised us that she had indeed left. She was done for the day, I believe.
Okay. At any point at that time, did control or anybody tell you that you or Zavala were now in charge of Fort Charlie?
No.
So when you then go over there, at 10:37, you go in there, and then you shut that door, and then that's when the whole lunch process starts. How did you know that you had to go over there to serve lunch?
We were directed per email from our supervisor that we were in charge to serve lunch and dinner in that module. So what me and my partner typically do is we split it 50-50. If I handle lunch, he'll handle dinner. So I chose to handle lunch. And that's what you see me do, prepping for lunch.
Yeah. Okay. So prior to you going in there for lunch, that door stays open. You guys see the mod is empty. Did it ever cross your mind that you should go in there and check on the inmates, or you just kind of just left it alone? The mod?
No, alone? It didn't cross my mind because I'm focused on my module.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Would there, in that same instance that we're talking about, would there be a reason when you're in charge of your module and the circumstance happens where one's left basically unmanned to check without any other information that you receive from anyone? Is there any training involved in, for that particular situation? Is that ever something that is brought up to you? If this happens, this is what you do.
If I was directed to do that,
But that scenario isn't brought up in training?
No.
Okay.
Is there a chain of command that exists in your at your posts? In other words, are there supervisors above you that can take up any slack that might exist with an unsupervised module?
Yeah. My supervisor could have told us that you're in charge of Fort Charlie, but she only...
Or could your supervisor have done the job herself?
Yeah, someone else could have went up there while we're running programming our module and handled that part.
But to follow up on the sergeant's question, that wasn't anything that's part of a trained practice or an expected protocol?
No.
Has this ever happened to you guys before, where someone just opens up that door and leaves the module unattended?
It's never happened to me.
So just to make sure I understand this correctly, typically if someone does leave and that door is opened, they brief you and let you know they're leaving. So it's clear to you, hey, they left and now I'm in charge?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that happen where someone leaves Fort Charlie and, like, let's say you and Zavala are working together, where that person's off in Fort Charlie and you and Zavala now have to man both, AdSig and Fort Charlie? Does that happen?
It happens if we are both locked down in other modules. Like, for example, let's say 3 Alpha Bravo. You have 3 Alpha here, you have 3 Bravo, you have a gate. Once we, both officers, have put away their inmates, we agree one of us is going to go on code, take their lunch. Now we're in charge of both sides. That didn't occur here.
Okay. So she opened the door, she left, and nobody ever... her or anybody ever notified you guys that she was gone for the day?
No.
Okay. Nor did anybody ever tell either of you guys that one of you needed to, or both needed to, man that mod?
No.
Okay. And besides the phone call being made to control, to question it, if she left... do you know, was your supervision aware or anybody aware that that mod was running without any CO in it?
I wasn't aware at the time.
Okay. But you didn't personally notify a supervisor or reach out to anyone else to let them know, hey, there's nobody here?
No, we didn't know where Talon was at the time, so I guess I probably thought that she might have came back, or I didn't officially know she was done for the day because I'm focused on my assignment.
Okay. But Zavala does become aware when he calls control and they say she's gone.
He calls to find out where she's at.
Okay. Then you receive an email and that's when you guys are notified that you'll be doing feedings in there.
Feedings. Not that we're in charge of Fort Charlie, so we're going to feed.
So is that, because I don't know how everything works in the jail, so I'm asking, feedings, does that mean someone else is going to come in, another CO comes in to do checks and make sure everything's okay, or how does that work?
That's happened before, where... let's say if me and my partner are still running the program, they'll send an officer that's not assigned to a module up there to do the welfare checks, to do the lunch. That way we don't have to stray from our post, you know, because it's a two-man post. And then you got one officer here and one officer there, and then I leave my partner alone in the ADSA unit, so... that has happened and that does happen.
Okay. When you guys have to do checks, when people are locked down, what do the welfare checks consist of? Like, how do you do a welfare check?
You make sure the inmate is present and breathing, that's what usually it consists of. And we try to, if they're locked down, if inmates are locked down, you should be doing 2 checks per hour.
Okay. And then once you do the checks, I know I provided you these. So this was the login to the ATIM system, which shows when you log in, and this is how you guys, this is the system you go into, right, to log checks?
Yes, ma'am.
So I was provided for that day a check at 11:35. You went into the system at 11:16. Is there policy, or how does it work? Can you guys just log them before you do them or after? What's normal?
You should log it after you've conducted, after you completed your check.
Let me clarify. When you open the record, does something have to happen, or are you just opening the record and now you can actually add to the log?
Yeah, this is me opening ATIMs.
Okay.
I could probably not be making an entry.
Okay. So you opened it at 11:16.
I probably just opened it to get it ready for me to make future entries.
Okay.
But that's based on video review. Unless you have an independent memory or recollection of that.
Yeah.
That
pretty much.
The answer is based on video review.
Okay. So it was opened at 11:16, but the check was not completed until on or around 11:35, because it was then logged for 11:35.
But even that, ma'am, I understand that it has my badge number and everything. I know for a fact that the top, I never do log entries where it says
here,
top.
Do you want to turn it around?
Yeah,
so you
where
have
it says top / bottom floor. I never describe entries like that.
So do you think someone logged a check?
It's possible because I don't recall logging out of my account. Because when I found the inmate, which was...
It was at 11:18, you were notified.
Yeah. I can't imagine me going back and, with everything going on, logging welfare check top and bottom. I can't.
Okay. So this... Do you recall going in to the system? Around 11:16, or do you want us to go back? We could check the video if you want.
Well, these also, I could also be making entries to catch up on my side where I'm assigned.
Okay, on the ADSIG side.
I could make ADSIG entries on Fort Charlie's computer.
Okay.
So the short answer is yes, you could be. You definitely log in, for sure.
Yes.
But the discrepancy I believe my client is describing is this language here. I'm not suggesting you guys have extra work to do, but if you were to audit his log entries, correct me if I'm wrong, this type of language isn't going to be present when he's doing welfare check type of entry, right?
Yes. It's quite possible that I know it. Have Fort Charlie here, I might have not changed it to Fort Delta Echo.
I didn't understand that part. I'm sorry.
Like I said, I could be making entries to catch up from the ADSIG side on Fort Charlie's computer.
Yeah, so that's why you were in the system over here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but you don't believe, or you're not sure if that was your...
Yes.
Okay. Do you have anything?
It's kind of a general question, just an opinion, if you could give it. Where is the breakdown here in this particular situation where Talon leaves and you don't know what's going on for a little while? Who's, in your opinion, at fault for that breakdown? Let me put it this way. If it were you that were to leave because you got held over, you had to work extra time, before you left, what would you do?
Well, I'd have briefed. If I was in her shoes, I would have briefed the ASIC officers.
And is that standard practice to do that?
You're supposed to do that.
Okay.
If not us, at least brief the supervisor to brief us. We were never briefed.
Right. Until a call was made by your partner to find out what was going on.
But still, that still wasn't a briefing.
Right.
It just let us know that she's gone. That's it. So, I mean, that guy could have... I mean, I didn't review tape where you see him walking around and, you know... So much could have been going on there, and I have no idea. Because that's what we typically do. Like, at the end of our shift, we brief, you know, so-and-so, you know, made a phone call. I saw him get emotional. Look out for him. Look out for her. You pay closer attention to that specific inmate.
Another example is if inmates have worked with each other. You have a potential fight or an altercation. You have to
manage.
Okay.
That happens all the time.
So, had she briefed you guys, is it like a conversation between you guys? Like, she's like, hey, I'm leaving. Can you guys man this mod now? Or is it direction that you guys have to get from a supervisor in order to do that?
Well, pretty much she's handing over the keys, per se. Like,
yeah.
Okay. You take over. You wouldn't even need sound. You would probably see her with the clipboard next to either me or my partner. This is how many inmates I have in this unit. So-and-so. You would see that, but from what I saw in the video, she just looks in there and leaves.
Okay. And then you bring up staffing. What... In a perfect world, what should staffing look like between these two mods?
There should be an officer there at all times. That door should never be open.
Okay. And also address the ADSIG side of the house, too.
Yeah, this is a PC unit for Charlie. We have two 90s and cooperative. Me and my partner work in ADSEG. You got Mexican Mafia members in there. You got killers in there. You know, some could pop off where they could fight me and my partner, get into there, go into here, and all hell can break loose. Per security officer, we were told not to open that door until our program is done. That door was opened. We're still running program. For at least another, if it was open at
9:35,
on that day, we were running a little late. I believe we didn't lock down our last inmate. And we have special inmates that are cuffed and shackled.
I saw that.
That required three officers. I'm definitely not going to leave my partner. Even though we're behind a bubble with an inmate that requires three officers. And we need to focus, especially that particular inmate, who also has suicidal tendencies. So, yeah, that, especially that unit, I'd say great responsibility working in there. for me, it's a privilege working in there, especially, you know, moving up the ranks in the jail to now working in the ADSEG unit. You know, I take pride working in there because of the inmates that we deal with. So, I mean, it's unfortunate what happened, but my responsibility is ADSEG.
When you use the word running program, what does that mean? In ADSEG, you said you guys were still running program. I don't know what that means.
We still have inmates out and about. Their day room time has not completed. They're still not secured in their cells.
Before that door is opened, should the person in 4 Charlie call you guys or give you a heads up? Hey, I'm going to open this door, or
they should.
Can I open this door?
They should.
Okay. Prior to that door being open, did you guys receive a phone call or get alerted at all?
No, ma'am. It was just opened. Okay. So in a perfect world, you would have an officer there at all times. And about 1100, that's when we locked down. On this particular day, we're understaffed. So a lot of the inmates that are in our unit in ADSEG, their program's been modified from 1 hour to half an hour. Unfortunately for us, we were behind on time, so we didn't get to lock down this inmate till 10 after 10. Me and my partner made a phone call to get lunch brought to us in our unit earlier so we can start for Charlie a lot earlier.
What time is lunch in for Charlie? Typically around what time?
10:45. We'll see the cart. Some officers tend to serve it at 1100 or 10:50 or right when it gets there just to get it out of the way. On a regular day, in ADSEG, it's very structured. ADSEG is very structured. We don't start our lunch on a regular day where we're fully staffed until 1100, because that's when we get medical to arrive so we can knock out the medication and the lunch at the same time, because all the inmates are secured at 1100.
Okay. Anything?
Mm-hmm. No.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to share? Or that you think we should know? Okay. I will be concluding our interview. The time is 4:16 p.m.